because he knows how important it is to you. And he wants you, because your life depends on this. He wants you to just encounter Jesus this morning. Come on, let's welcome Pastor Andrew out this morning as he brings us the word.
Hey, let's give the creative team a hand as they take a seat. Just before you take a seat, why don't we just pray? God, we just thank you for your word. God, as Trent has said, God, we understand that your word never returns void. Your word is you, Christ, and it carries power and it carries weight, and everything can change because your word has been released into our lives. We believe it by faith, and in Jesus' name we said, amen. You may be seated. Tell the person next to you and say, that was good worship. Well, yeah, I always get raptured in worship. I don't know. Can't help but get excited. It's amazing. We're on a series called The Armor of God. Let me just see if we're PowerPointing. Yeah, hold on. Let's just see if it's all going down. Oh, there it is. Ephesians 6:10. Can I read this again? Who knows it off by heart? Let me just see if this is working. Oh, it is. This is fantastic. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Did you like that pregnant pause? Did it get your attention? No. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded up your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And everybody said, we've been tracking through this and very quickly, just to get us up to date. If you're not up to date, you can go and you can go on our website and you can podcast it. Everyone knows what podcasting is, don't they? Okay. Well, someone can help Harry with podcasting, but we need to know what that is and go on the website and have a look. There's a little button you click on and you can download it into your iPhone. And if you've still got an iPod, you can do it in that as well. Or if you've got a Samsung, if it works for you, you can download it into that. So we looked at, first of all, the first part. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We don't get our strength as believers out of our own strength. No matter how strong and good you are or how pumped up you are in the gym, you'll never be able to take on any spiritual battle in your own strength. We get our strength from him. Amen? That's what God says in his word. If you want to fight against the principalities, the spiritual battle that's waging over your life, you have to do it with a spiritual strength, and that comes through our relationship with Christ. We looked at part two. I'm going to keep flicking through this. Part two, we looked at the first part of the armor, which was the belt of truth. And very quickly, let me just realize, bring you up to your memory, up to pace on this. Truth is something that we need to deal with our minds. And we talked about, and I tried to put the mental image into your minds about tucking your feelings and your thoughts into truth, that belt of truth. We need the word of God constantly to keep us up to date, keep our minds switched on to God's way of doing things. Your mind drifts, amen? Just like your shirt pops out of your belt 20 times a day if you're a male, and it pops out, it hangs out, so does your thinking, so does your feelings. So that belt of truth, we've got to get ourselves and we've got to tuck our thinking into the belt of truth so that we can get God's way of doing things. That's why we read the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So we looked at the belt of truth and we're running. And then last week, we had a look at another piece of armor. Let me just get up to date with this. There's the armor of God. Let me get all the way through, flying. And we got up to the next piece of armor, which was the breastplate of righteousness. There it is. Pretty good looking. We also agreed, most of the males in the church, that if we could all wear those under our shirts, we would look ripped. Amen? So we might start a new trend here at Bay City. That would be like a man girdle. Is that okay? Does that sound manly enough? So that's why Romans wore them, you know. And we said, you know, it still doesn't work because it could come out like this too, which doesn't look good. But we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. And what does it look after? I'm gone. What does it look after? What does the breastplate of righteousness look after? It protects the heart. Amen? It protects the heart. It looks after the heart. It gives us that ability to have see our relationship, that place, that intimacy that we have with God needs to be protected. And it's that revelation of righteousness that protects it. And it's something that we need to have. I'm still not clicking. Okay, here we go. We'll get there one day. So we're up to this morning. We're up to date. And the next piece of armor we're going to talk about is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And it says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." I need to go backwards. Sorry, guys. You're going to have to do it for me. It's just not happening. Go back a couple. So the shoes worn. There should be a picture of some shoes there. Can you find that for me? Just a picture of some sandals. Good-looking sandals. It's where the original term of Roman sandals came from. Who wore Roman sandals at school? Was that just a New Zealand thing? All the New Zealanders, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Roman sandals. And in wintertime, you would rock them with the socks. So all you Australians, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what a Roman sandal is? They were a classy beast, let me tell you. They were made out of leather. They were strapped around your foot. They came apart 20 times a day. But they were good looking. I can't believe we wore them. Well, I want it. Who remembers Nomads? All the New Zealanders. Okay, let's get off this topic. I can't believe you distracted me like that. So the Roman soldiers, they wore these sandals. There they are. They're almost back in fashion, aren't they, girls? But this is what the Roman soldier wore. And they had a thick leather sole, and they were studded with little nails like golf shoes before golf existed. They had these, and they would use those little bits of metal just to dig into the ground when they were fighting, when they were battling. They needed some traction. And so that was, instead of wearing a Nike shoe, this is the Nike shoe of the Roman era. And they were good looking. There they are. They came in brown. And if you didn't like brown, you could choose brown. That's it. Couldn't accessorize. You couldn't walk up there and say, "I like a pair of yellow sandals." Wasn't going to happen for you. So there was something that was strapped securely. Sometimes they went right up to the top of the knee, but sometimes they just stayed down where they were there, and that's what they wore. And the Word of God says that they were made of peace, the preparation of peace. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, the single biggest statement I've heard in my life when talking to people out there that have a concept and a connection with God, the single biggest statement I've heard is that people want to make their peace with God. Amen? I've done a few funerals in my life, and that whole term, when you're talking to someone who knew God, or in some cases didn't know God. I know the family would get around me, and when we'd talk about the ceremony, they'd ask things like, do you think they made their peace with God? And it's always really hard when you get asked like a question like that when you really don't know the person and you really don't know if they did or not. But I think in everyone's heart, there is an inbuilt desire to make your peace with God. Amen? It's a term that we know. It's something that's quite special, but you see it in movies all the time, you know, that people are trying to make their peace with God, trying to get to that place of peace between them and God. And to be honest, it's true. Because your spirit is in conflict with God. If you are not a Christian, if you are not a believer, then your spirit is not at peace with God. Are you with me? You're not at peace. As much as you can think you are, you can think you're a beautiful person, you can think you're an amazing person, you can think you've done incredible things in life, that you've served people, you might have been a humanitarian person, but the reality is, without salvation and without Christ, your spirit is at war with God. Because God has a righteous anger. God has a requirement over your life because you have sinned. Therefore, there is no peace. That your spirit is at war. Your spirit is not at peace with God. Are you with me? In fact, without Christ and his salvation, your life is owned by the devil. I don't want to be blunt here, but I'm going to be blunt. Because we're talking about the gospel here, all right? And there's a world out there that doesn't want to acknowledge that. They don't want to think about that. They don't want to have to think that, you know, well, hold on. You're trying to tell me that someone who's lived a really good life could find them that their life is actually owned by the enemy and they could find themselves away from God. Well, the reality is, if we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ based on the word of God, that is the truth of it. Amen? There's no other way you can put it. I can't make you feel better than the truth. And so we need to recognize that this peace that we have, this peace we make with God, I'm going to tell you how to do it. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Oh, sorry, I went too far. There it is. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. If you're a believer in this place, the only reason that you have the peace of God, that you are at peace with God, is because of Christ. Amen? It's not a hard thing for someone to do. When they give their lives to God, that then their lives come, your spirit comes into a place of peace. Because there is a wrath, there is a requirement over your spirit, over your life because of sin. If you've sinned once, there is a requirement. And therefore, you are at enmity between you and God and there's wrath. And as soon as you accept Christ, Christ steps into that gap and it instantly, your spirit is at peace because it's the spirit of God that comes into your spirit. Amen. Your life is at peace with God. And you can honestly say, I have made my peace with God. But there's only one way you can do that. I've seen in movies where they sit there and they say sorry for all the things they've done in their lives, or they recount some relationships and they said, I've made my peace with God. Well, I've got to say, friend, according to the word of God, that's not true. There's only one way you can make your peace with God, and that's by accepting Jesus Christ, because he is your peace with God. Are you with me? It's a powerful revelation, but it's something that's so powerful and so central to what we believe. There's no peace for our souls outside of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 18, verse 19 to 20 says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Your peace came with a price. There is peace over your life. There is a peace that you have over your soul, but it came at the cost of Christ, and blood was spilt for that peace. Amen? It's something precious, incredibly powerful. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Let me see if we can get this one up. Whoop, this way. There it is. Christ our peace. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Why don't we say amen? He paid the requirements because of your sin. He took on the enmity. He took on the wrath of God. He became all of that for you. And through him, you have peace. Do you know, when I gave my life to Christ, I can honestly tell you, and I've shared this before, I can honestly tell you, the very first night I put my head on my bed, I can remember it was in Borkham Hills, out in a back room. I think I've got a mate of mine in this place who got saved 2 weeks before me. And we were both, I think he might have been living with us at the time. And I remember lying my head on the pillow, and I remember for the first time in my life just sensing that peace. That there wasn't all this warring going on inside of me, that I just don't know. I couldn't even describe it. I remember just lying there awake looking at a ceiling that had water stains because it was a back room. I remember just sitting there, lying there, just thinking, oh my goodness, why do I feel this way? I felt such a sense of relief. I felt like this massive burden. And I remember I couldn't sleep. I was just sitting there staring at the ceiling like, oh my goodness, I just feel like this weight, and I just feel so alive and so at peace with myself, because I was created to be at peace with God. Amen. How many other people can remember that feeling? Anyone else in this place? You know, some people get saved and it happens when they're young and there's not a defining moment. But for me, that was my defining moment. And I'll never forget that feeling. I'll never, ever forget it. So how does it work? So how do these shoes we wear, how do they protect us? How does this preparation of the gospel of peace, how does it affect and protect our lives? Because this is what it's talking about. Without the sandals, you know, the soldier would be ineffectual. There were two vital things that the soldier needed when he had these sandals on. The first one is he needed to stand. Very simply, he needed to stand. And if you know anything about the Middle East, I've never been there myself, but the ground there is not, it's not like, you know, beautiful, lush, green, fluffy grass that you can run across, or you know, it's not like a rubber-backed, beautiful little area or carpet that you can just, you know, wiggle your toes in on the grass. It's not like that, all right? It's rocky, it's dusty, it's dirty, it's hard, and it's nasty. And a soldier would not be able to do what he's called to do. He couldn't even stand with the weight of his armor on him. He couldn't stand with that weight without having his feet completely covered. If he ran out of that barracks, he could have his spear, he could have his sword, he could have the breastplate on, he could have everything, and he'd be running outside ready for battle. But if he forgot his shoes, he wasn't going to go far. Amen? Wasn't going to work for him. So we need to realize that the first thing that these shoes of preparation of peace do is they give us the ability to stand. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, let's see if we can go there. There it is. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach you, unless you believe in vain." We stand on the gospel. It is the standing point. You stand in the gospel. It actually says in Ephesians 6:15, it says that your feet stand in peace. You slip them into peace. These shoes, you slip your feet, you slip your life into the revelation of salvation. It's the basis for everything. Amen? And what is that revelation? Verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you first for all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." There is no other gospel that you can stand on like that. If you've got some other watered down belief about Jesus, it's wrong. Amen? Some people want to bring it into something a little bit, you know. Oh, you know, Jesus, he doesn't expect us to give his life to him. He knows that this is good people and there's bad people. And if you just acknowledge that there is a God, you'll be saved. Well, that's not what it says. And did he really die and raise from the dead? Oh, come on. You know, that's a little bit. He's a good man and, you know, had some good teachings. And as long as you follow the good teachings and you get into what he says, you're going to find yourself, you know, in heaven because you're a good person. No. He's the Son of God. And out of his redemption plan, he put himself on a cross so that he was killed for you and for me. And he rose from the dead as he says he did. And he is risen. Amen? Every part of what he did has a doctrine behind it, which I can't. There's sanctification, there's redemption, there's grace, there's mercy, and all of them are important, and all of them include the gospel. You can't take one little bit out and throw it away. You have to believe it all. That's the gospel. I love the way there's another version, Ephesians 6:15. As well as the shoes of the good news of peace, a firm foundation for our feet. So the second thing I believe that these shoes do, they give us this foundation that we put our feet into, that we live by. But the second thing that a soldier would need out of these is not just to stand all armored up, but he had to march. And in those days, soldiers, a normal Roman soldier, didn't have a horse. And they would march literally hundreds of kilometers. They'd march all day and sometimes into the night to a battle. And so they were used to marching and they were carrying their little pack and they'd be carrying their shield and all their armor. And so if you're marching across this terrain day in, day out, you couldn't go. You couldn't do what you were called to do without having these shoes working well. Amen? And the same is with us. There's two parts to this moving. The soles that keep us going over the hard ground, that's the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the sole which equips us with something to offer someone else, that is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen? Your feet fitted, Ephesians 6:15, your feet fitted, gone too far, I can't find it. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Romans chapter 2, verse 15 says, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things." So what is the main area that this preparation of the gospel of feet, these shoes are protecting for us? I'll tell you very quickly, for us as believers, the area that is protecting the most is our purpose. See, we move with purpose, right? As believers, we're activated with purpose. We walk over tough ground as Christians, because we have a purpose, right? Come on. Being a Christian is not for the faint-hearted, correct? You're going to stand up in a schoolyard and be a believer and stand against the tide of living your life how you want to live it and how you think you should live it, and you decide that you're going to put some godly boundaries around your relationships, around how you conduct yourself, what comes out of your mouth and how you live. If you want to live against that, you need to have a purpose to live that way. Amen? You can't live as a believer against the tide of your own flesh and your own desires that want to make you do the wrong thing. Sometimes it's like you're walking against a river because it's all pushing you this way, but you're standing and you're walking against something. Why? Because you've got a purpose. You see someone that walks against resistance, they have a purpose. You see an athlete that gets up at 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m. to swim laps in a pool for hours. Why? Because they've got a purpose. And you know what our purpose is? It's the gospel. That is our purpose. Your purpose, if you took out the gospel of what we're called to do, if you took out the fact that you are standing in the redemption of Christ and that he paid his the ultimate price for you, if you forget that, you lose purpose. Amen? See, the foot is to the body what the will is to the soul. We go wherever our will takes us. Preparation. The Christian spiritual readiness is our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, a lot of people have climbed over some really, really rough terrain because they had the purpose of the gospel. You know, you could just... You want to get inspired about living your life for Christ? Go pick up the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Amen? Go have a tiptoe through those pages and see what some people did because they had a purpose in Christ. And then sometimes we need to read some of that just to relate that to our lives. And sometimes, you know, it's like our biggest challenge is the alarm clock on a Sunday morning. Amen? Or when they're in the office and we've got an opportunity to share the gospel or say something to someone about Jesus, it's how we look to them. You know, oh, they're going to think I'm a Christian nerd if I open my mouth. We've got to slip our feet into some shoes of purpose. Realize what we're standing in is so incredible that someone told us about it and we're standing in it and it saved our souls for eternity. And we need to be a little bit overwhelmed with that sometimes and just go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm standing in salvation. I know the truth. I've made my peace with God. And then out of that revelation, some of us need to actually decide to move forward a little bit and take our lives forward and not just keep them in one place, but start to march towards some purpose for our lives for the gospel. Amen? And do a few things outside of ourselves for Jesus. Amen? Because I've got to tell you, there is no other purpose for us as believers than to carry his gospel. If you want to fill your life with your own purpose as a believer, have a go, have a try. Guess what? It's not going to work. If you're purpose in life is not connected to the gospel, there is going to be a time that you're going to feel inadequate, you're going to feel empty, you're going to feel disconnected from God because your purpose is not aligned with the gospel. If you're a business person, get your finance and your business connected to the gospel. If you're a mum and dad, then you're at home, get your parenting connected to the gospel so you raise kids who know what it is to love Jesus. Amen. If you're a young person, get your life connected to the gospel. It will flood it with purpose. God is looking across this earth for men and young women and older men and older women who will just decide to live their lives for the gospel. Amen? There is no greater purpose. There is no greater name. Don't get me singing. Is there? One day we'll stand before God and we'll look at him and we'll just go, he'll go, your number one purpose is Matthew 28. It was the Great Commission to go into all the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples. And you'll go, how did you go? How did you go, Andrew? How did you spend your life? How did you spend your talent? How did you spend your abilities? How did you spend all the gifts I stacked into your life and all the ability I gave you? Did you expand my gospel? Did you get about my purpose? I just want to be that person that gets there and just goes, I did the best I could, God. I know I wasn't amazing at it, but I did okay. And I'd really love it if I got a maybe a well done, good and faithful servant. I don't think I'm there yet, but that's just me. Amen? Because that's the purpose of our lives. Amen? Your purpose is your friends that don't know Jesus. Your purpose is those people around you that don't know Jesus. If you want your life to be filled with all this great vision and purpose, then carry his gospel. Put your feet into some shoes. Get yourself prepared to take the good news to someone around you. Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet? Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. Let me just bring this up. Can we bring that up? Oh. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Jesus came with one purpose, friend. Ultimately, Jesus came for one purpose. And he fought with his will in the Garden of Gethsemane. He fought with it. He said, God, if you can take this cup from me, if you can take this will from me, this pain I'm about to go through. And then very quickly he said, but not my will, but your will be done. And he knew exactly what he was doing, and he put himself in a position for you. He put himself in a place where his life, where he was beaten, his body was torn apart, put himself on a cross so that he could die, so that you could have spiritual life. Amen? He knew what his purpose was. Every eye closed just for a moment in this place, because we've only got a few moments left. I've got a little bit over, I'm sorry, but